You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always fell upon, if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte.
And I'm Father Jim Evans.
Welcome to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love. You're listening to and learning about Mary, the mother of Jesus. On this Father's Day, we thought it would be appropriate, obviously, to talk with the Father. So we've asked Rick Becker to join us for a show honoring all fathers on this very special day.
Yes, Sherry, and having seven children qualified Rick to share his story today. And that, besides being an RN, teaching, and having a Bachelor of Arts in Theology and a Master's in Theology and Christian Ministry, plus being a Catholic blogger, certainly qualifies him for Father of the Year.
Amen. Seven children. God bless you. But perhaps what makes Rick a great dad is a story that he shared on his blog. And that story takes place one spring in the principal's office of the parish grade school. And no, he wasn't sent to the principal's office, but let's let him explain what he was doing there. Help me welcome Rick Becker to Mary's Touch. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Father Jim.
We are so glad to have you with us today, and happy Father's Day to you. And I read your blog, and it just touched my heart, and I thought, we need to share that with all our listeners. Do you want to kind of go back to that moment and when you were in the principal's office and take it from there?
Sure.
Okay.
And thank you for having me on the show. Father Jim mentioned something about Father of the Year. I don't know if I qualify for that, but I certainly am glad to be with you on Father's Day. The event that you're thinking of is back when I was meeting with the principal of our parish grade school, and we were at that point looking at putting the four oldest kids at that point would have been in grade school, and we were going to have them all there. And our fifth child, as I mentioned to the principal, as an aside, our son Nicholas, we were not going to have him there at the grade school because we thought that it would be more appropriate for him to be at the public grade school. Nicholas has Down syndrome, and we thought at the time that it would be most appropriate for him to be at a place where he could receive more services. And the principal, Ms. Retzik, as I mentioned in my article in my blog, looked me in the eye very sternly, as a principal would, and basically asked me why. Why not let St. Matthew's Parish School take care of Nick? And it never occurred to me that he would go to the parish school, and he's been there ever since, and it's been a tremendous blessing not only to him, I'm convinced, but also to our whole family, and I'd like to believe the whole school.
Oh, I imagine so. I can see that. So you're there, and you agree, both of you, to have Nick become a member of St. Matthew's School, and I know what that can do for a family, because then the school, the attendees there, the children there, become part of the family. How did that help Nick in his growth?
It helped him, I think, first of all, to be around his siblings. Nick has five older siblings, and his younger sister now is with him at St. Matthew's as well. For him, I think it was reassuring to be in a school environment in which his own brothers and sisters were seeing him. He was seeing them on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, too, to be part of the gang, we've always treated Nick as just a part of the gang at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to be mainstream in a regular parish school with everyone else built him up. And I think allowed him to flourish in a way that he wouldn't have if he had been in a classroom that was only designed for kids with special needs. I think, too, that it's interesting that in my article, in my blog post about this, I implied, I think, that God providentially placed him in a cohort of students that happened to be especially gracious and welcoming and hospitable to Nicholas. But it's funny because some of the parents have told me since I posted that article that they think that Nick's presence altered his cohort. So in other words, Nick being in that class changed the personality of the class. It was like a mutually beneficial in that sense. So,
sure, and I can see that not the special student Nick, but what that would do for him. And as you said, being around family, I think being in a Catholic community makes a difference because we try to teach our children that, you know, we all are not the same, but that doesn't mean God loves us any differently. And that's a great lesson to learn. And then for Nick's presence to be there, he was giving other students the opportunity to also share with their gifts.
That's true. And to also very subtly communicate the message that whatever special needs that any of his classmates might have, mm-hmm. Whether they're the kinds of special needs that are acknowledged pedagogically, but as you know, we all have special needs of one kind or another, and for him to be accepted and to be integrated into the classroom was, in a sense, subtly reassuring to his entire class, to the entire school, that, hey, I'm going to be taken care of too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you gave other students the opportunity to love someone who was different.
That's right. And of course, being in a parish school, in a Catholic school, I don't have to tell you this or your listeners either, but just being there in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, having the opportunity to receive the sacraments, to go to Mass, to go to confession on a regular basis, that is irreplaceable. We homeschooled for a little while, but for a variety of reasons, we decided to move all of our children to parish schools. And in both situations, when we were homeschooling, we always made it a part of our day to get to Mass, to incorporate prayer into the day. And now they have that in the school, and particularly for Nick. The idea that, as I think back on it now and talking to Ms. Retzik, the principal, the idea that he had been these last several years been going to a public school and missing out on that dimension of his formation.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm so grateful that Ms. Retzik called me out and in a sense demanded that she be given an opportunity to serve Nicky's needs.
And was Nick put into the regular classroom, or did he have his own special class that was formed for special needs students?
That's a great question, Father. He actually has been in regular classrooms from the beginning. He did have to repeat kindergarten, but he's been in the regular classroom ever since, and they do make accommodations. There is an instructor at our parish school at St. Matthew's that does give him some extra help. We've had education students come from the college where I teach and other places that give him special help in the classroom when it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from those kinds of accommodations, he's been with his regular class and he's doing very well. Now, it is true that there are kids with Down syndrome. There's a range, as I'm sure you well know. Nick happens to be pretty high functioning when it comes to kids with Down syndrome, but it's the kind of accommodations that he receives and is able to make it possible for him to stay in a regular classroom may not always be appropriate for all kids with Down syndrome,
mm-hmm.
but I think the point of my article was that Ms. Retzik wanted to try, and that's what's so beautiful, and I think more and more Catholic schools are thinking along the same lines, that if we're going to be pro-life and accept all life, that trying to make accommodations for kids with Down syndrome, for instance, in the Catholic schools is only reasonable. It's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, you've had the opportunity to observe firsthand six children of what we would put into the, quote, normal, unquote, range. And you've watched Nick grow. And I'm only thinking in terms of the spiritual development. And could you share with us some of the differences and the wonders that you've seen in Nick compared to the others?
Wow. I could go on and on about that.
Take
it away, Rick.
I often describe Nick, and people with kids with Down syndrome often use this kind of terminology, but he's like an icon. And icons, my understanding in the Eastern Christian tradition, are windows. They're windows on heaven. And in that sense, Nick is a window on heaven because he is not, how can I say this? He's not held back by the things that would hold us back from fully expressing his joy and his vitality and his love of his family and his love of God. For instance, his middle name is Matthias, and yesterday was on the feast of St. Matthias, he decided that he wanted his whole class to celebrate the Feast of St. Matthias. Now, it is true that it involves bringing treats for his class, so we have to grant that. But there was also a part that he wanted kids to know about his middle name, Saint, and was not embarrassed to basically approach the teacher and say, I want our class to learn about St. Matthias and that we celebrate him today. And they did that. But he also was, this last Easter, on Maundy Thursday, on Holy Thursday, he was invited by our pastor to get his feet washed. And he was so excited by the idea that he would have the opportunity to participate in that ceremony, and was so proud. And unlike many of us who might be embarrassed to get up there and take off our shoe and have Father get down and wash our foot, he couldn't have been prouder. He wore his three-piece suit and was so excited to be up there on the altar and beaming when Monsignor knelt down to wash his foot and just recognized that what an opportunity that was, not only for himself, you know, to have that entering into the liturgy, but also to be up there. And he was not embarrassed. He was very proud to be able to be up there on the altar and be part of the liturgy.
And so I imagine, too, he really helps your other children. You know, as you say, he's very joyful. It's not bad to have somebody around the house who's joyful.
Yes, who's joyful and who's very resilient. Nick does not hold a grudge. He certainly is sensitive, but he does not hold a grudge. And I especially appreciate that as a dad. We're talking on Father's Day. Certainly all fathers wish they were better fathers and regret when they make mistakes. But one of the beauties of having a son like Nick, and you're right, my kids learn from him, that he does not hold on to offenses and does not hold a grudge. And he's so quick to forgive, and he's so quick to restore relationship. And then in that regard, I think we can all learn from him. I try to. He's always cheerful, always glad to see me, always happy to be engaged with the other family members.
How wonderful.
That is, as other parents will tell you, kids with Down syndrome, that is one of their characteristics, is a fundamental joy, generally, and more often than not, it's mm-hmm. part of their personality.
What a joy.
He's a wonderful joy. Let me tell you one other story about him. He, again, we're very human, and most of us don't like to be out in front, and in our case, because we work in the parish, my wife and I work together helping run the religious education program in our parish, the CCD program. It's mainly my wife, but so in that sense, we're kind of recognizable to the ushers. And on Sundays, when they don't have a family to bring up the gifts, they will often approach us and ask us to bring up the gifts. And of course, my wife, it's usually on the days that we were rushed to get to church, and the kids maybe don't look as put together as they'd like, and those are always the times when the ushers approach us to bring up the gifts. My wife is frequently reluctant, but Nicholas always wants to bring up the gifts. In fact, he will often ask to bring up the gifts, and he'll hold the ciborium and be just proudly bringing the Sephorim out in front of us as we're bringing the gifts up to the priest, and is so grateful to have that opportunity to be part of the liturgy. And I can tell you one thing for sure, that he's counting the days to when he's old enough to be able to serve at Mass.
Oh, wow.
He loves the church and he loves his faith, yeah. And he's not afraid to show it.
What a bright light in your family.
He is.
Yes.
And in our parish, as many people tell us.
Yes, I can imagine. And being a father of seven and one being special needs, and talking about Father's Day, how do you find time for all of your children and their needs?
Oh, that's a good question, too. I think I don't know who said it first, but I remember hearing that a mom of a large family was asked, do you have any favorites? And her response was, my favorite is whoever needs me most at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I do try to be conscious, especially with my wife's help, because of my my work teaching and clinicals. I have very crazy hours. So when I come home, it's always very important for me to be able to check in with her to see how everyone's doing. And if there are kids that are dealing with special issues or maybe had a bad day, those are the people that those are the kids that I gravitate to first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't keep a list, I don't keep a tally, but in my mind, I am constantly thinking about who is it that I need to spend time with. I guess I depend on the Holy Spirit to inspire me as to which kid might need to go out for a breakfast at McDonald's, or mm-hmm. which kid might need to go for a walk or a bike ride, or I just depend on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to guide me, and Saint Joseph.
We
definitely rely on Saint Joseph too.
There you go.
In that regard.
Yeah, that's a good thing to rely on. We're going to have to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back to hear the rest of Rick Becker's story. Stay with us.
You're listening to Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love in our lives. Visit marystouch.org to find out how you can help support us with your prayers and your donations. Find out more about Mary and tell us your story. It's all at marystouch.org.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte. We've been broadcasting Mary's Touch for 9 years now. Each and every year, we've won a special award, from being the best Catholic radio program in North America to being the best Catholic website at marystouch.org. So visit us there, marystouch.org. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And thanks for listening every week to Mary's Touch. Welcome back. We're visiting with Rick Becker. As we celebrate Father's Day, we're visiting with Rick, father of seven, and he has shared with us his beautiful story of his family and his special children. And, you know, the other thing I think is important, especially on this weekend of Father's Day, is to talk about the fathers who are the spiritual leaders of their family. And I know, Father Jim, you had something that you wanted to talk to Rick about.
My concern as a priest is seeing so many of the families who don't find their needs met in our Catholic Church. And I ask myself, why is that? And what's wrong? What are we not doing? You have told me that you're a convert, and so I value your dual citizenship there within the faith, and that is that you have observed, you know, both sides of Protestantism and Catholicism. And what I would like to ask you, as a father with seven children and working in a good companion relationship, a loving relationship with your wife as the dual heads of a marvelous family, how do you maintain the interest and in the development spiritually of your children and maintaining the harmony within the home? because I hear so many times that the family is bored with our approach to Catholicism, and I don't want to turn it into a circus, but I certainly want to turn it into something that keeps their attention throughout their entire lives, through all the stages that we go through. We've all heard about the children going away to college. It starts probably in high school, and as soon as they're away from home, they fall away from the church. And you're doing a marvelous job of keeping the family happy, coordinated, loving, and within the confines, if you will. Not the confining, but they're certainly the parameters of our loving God within the Catholic Church.
I'm doing my best, Father, with God's grace. But you bring up lots of great questions, lots of great points. Let me just respond to a couple of them. One would be you implied that it's the Father's responsibility, or you actually didn't imply. You actually said it directly. Father plays such a key role in spiritual headship and leadership in the home, and I think that begins with the children growing up with growing up the idea that it is a unquestioned given that the family will honor the Sunday obligation. Mm-hmm. And that seems like a funny thing to say in a Catholic radio show, but I think for Catholic dads to take seriously the idea of Sunday obligation requires, of course, that they themselves are getting to Mass, but that they're communicating throughout the week that Sunday obligation grows out of a fundamental allegiance, in a sense, to the Church and to what the Church requires of us. That certainly is something that my kids have grown up with. They know that regardless of their own ups and downs in their faith, regardless of their boredom, that Mass attendance is not even a question on Sundays. And I think that also speaks to your question about the boredom. Of course, we're living in an age, and this is going to be, so many people are talking about this these days, the distraction of our modern media and the screens and all the gadgets that are out there that are fighting for our attention, especially young people. It's no surprise that they're bored by, at least superficially, they're bored by what they perceive to be the same thing over and over again. But if our kids grow up with an understanding that the Mass isn't primarily about what we get out of it, and this is an important part of my conversion, actually, that worship is not designed, if you read the scriptures, that Israel was not commanded to worship God for their benefit. They were commanded to worship God because it was the right thing to do, that we owe God because of who he is and who we are as his creatures. We do benefit from it because it keeps us, we certainly benefit from worshiping God and entering into the liturgy, but we're not there primarily for our entertainment. We're there primarily because it's our duty. So I think that's one way that, at least with my family, my kids know that we go to Mass and that we don't church hop either. We stay with our parish, and the priests come and go, and they have different styles, and maybe we like their homilies, maybe we don't. But we're not there to be entertained. We're there to, it's a commandment. We're there to worship God, and it's what we owe God as a bare minimum. And it's also important to point out, too, that as the kids get older, and I do like to think that we are created a culture in our home that is healthy in terms of forming our kids with a good understanding of the faith and an appreciation and love for the Church and the sacraments and the faith. But I'm not naive. I'm not so naive as to think that necessarily all of my kids will stay in the Church, even given all the things that we've tried to do and form them in the faith. But I do know this, that my kids, hopefully, God willing, through my attempt to give them a good example, and my wife, I know, has given them a good example of trying to live a faithful life, And then the opportunities we've given them in terms of Catholic formation in the schools and CCD and homeschooling and our own formation at home, practice of the faith at home, that my kids, when they leave home and they go off to college and they go on with their own lives, they will know what the faith is. And I always use the image when I talk to other dads. There's a line in one of Chesterton's Father Brown stories where he talks about the twitch of the thread. And he talks about that thread that follows people through their whole lives. And I believe that if you form kids in the faith and they have a good understanding of the faith, that even if they leave it, in a sense, you've given the Holy Spirit that thread, and that some moment in their life, there will be a twitch back. And I'm convinced that with the grace of the sacraments and through our prayers and through that formation, that good formation, that education in the faith that they've received, hopefully in their school and in our home, that they will, even if they do stray, that they will come back to the faith. And probably, Father, you've probably observed yourself that often that happens when they start to form their own families.
Oh, yes.
That kids that have strayed from the faith will come back when they start having their own children and want them baptized. But hopefully it won't take that. And, of course, my prayer and hope is that none of my kids will leave the church. But
Well, and you just hit the primary thing right there, your prayer. And our prayer is always there for our loved ones and within a loving relationship. Pope Francis does a marvelous job of emphasizing that within the family. And this weekend, especially as we talk about Father's Day, I thank you, Rick, for such a good insight as to how to be the best father you can. And with God's help, you're doing a great job. And all of you fathers out there, God bless you all, and may you rise to the occasion of the gift of fatherhood that is truly a grace of God flowing into your lives.
Thank you, Father.
And Father, before your final blessing, also, we have a prayer ministry at Mary's Touch. And if you'll send us your prayer requests at marystouch.org, we take them individually and pray for your request at the Adoration Chapel. And we'd like to hear from you. That would be wonderful. Father, do you want to end this with one of your beautiful blessings?
And now we ask the blessing of God Almighty upon all of the fathers of this wonderful world, and may they be the best of fathers as our Father in heaven guides us and keeps us. Bless us, dear Father, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her Son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.
You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.